Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. My name is Scott McKenzie, but you know that because you're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast. And once again, we are broadcasting from IoT Solutions World Congress in beautiful Barcelona, Spain. Put that on your bucket list because you need to come on over here, eat some food, experience the culture that is Barcelona. How about that? And we are also brought to you by those wonderful people at Industrial Internet Consortium. Go out to iiconsortium.org. That information is available for you to know more about the IoT, IIoT, the AI, everything that you need to know about Industry 4.0. iiconsortium.org is that one-stop shop to be able to pull that information. And you know what? They care about you. And you know what? You need to be aware of what's going on. If you're not engaged, I'm telling you, your competition is engaged in understanding what's going on with this IoT thingy out there. We have a great interview with a gentleman by the name of Paul Dix. He's the founder and CTO of Influx Data. That's all one word, Influx Data. And we're going to be talking a little bit about timestamp data. You don't want to listen to me about it. So let's get going. Hey, Paul, how are you doing? You having a good conference?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I gave my talk earlier this morning.
Did you really?
Yeah, went well. So
yeah? Yeah. A lot of people? Like stadium packed type
it
stuff?
Was,
like
it was,
stadium.
It was packed. It was standing room
standing
only.
Standing room only. Talking
people
about
people went that. Insane. They cheered loudly.
They're just wiping away the tears from the eyes. Oh, my God. he's talking about timestamps. Yeah. No. But there is a lot of passion out there.
Yes.
I mean, it's insane. That's one thing about this conference. It doesn't lack for passion because everybody's technology, everybody's solution, everybody's service is the best.
Of course. ours is the best, really the best.
Well, I haven't had anybody talk about open source solutions like this one, so it is the best.
Yes.
In my sphere, it is the best. So, for the listeners out there, give us a little background on who you are, where you come from, and then we're going to get on into what you guys do at Influx Data.
So, I'm a computer programmer by trade. I live in New York City.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, given that I'm building a software platform.
And CTO.
Yeah.
It's good that you know how to do things like that.
So I live in New York City. I was educated at Columbia University. I've worked for big companies, small companies, Google, Microsoft, Air Force Base Command, startups, and then I started my own company.
What the heck, man? You're not 75. I've done all this, and I'm 32.
There's a picture in my attic that's obscured, and it's aging as we speak.
Getting the curly edges, brown and curly edges. So you've got some street cred out there. Yeah. How long has Influx Data been around?
So I started the company at the very beginning of 2013.
Gosh, it's been around for a little while.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about it, I want to understand a little bit about the open source and the thinking behind the open source and why did you go down that road? That's an interesting conversation to have too.
Yeah, so I mean, it all started with InfluxDB, which is the time series database that I first created. And I built that for a few reasons. One, I saw a gap in the database market that was focused on time series data, which is, you know, collecting samples at regular intervals of time and then summarizing that data and monitoring and alerting on that data, which is important for IoT, but for other use cases in financial markets and server monitoring.
Absolutely.
And that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
And the reason I built that as an open source project to begin with is it's a tool for developers. And basically over the last 10 years, developers demand open source tools to build on top of. It's because they build their careers around these pieces of software, and they want to be able to take those skills to the next jobs that they go to. And the best way to ensure that is to have it be open source.
But for me personally, how do you, and we'll go into the solutions and all that, but how do you sort of govern that activity? How do you take an open source model and be able to govern that activity of open sourceness?
This has been a hot topic of debate over the last couple of years, particularly with vendors like us who are basically taking open source software and trying to create a business around it.
Yeah.
And the main thing is, like, as infrastructure software creators, Traditionally, you know, 15 years ago, the model was you sell support, you sell services, yeah. and you sell software that makes it easier to run in production. Now, what's happened over the last 10 years is the cloud vendors like Amazon, Google, and Microsoft have taken the open source software and offered it as a service. So the value add that the vendors can provide is getting diminished by the cloud vendors. So what the strategy we've taken is we have a certain amount of work that we do that's pure open source, and then we have closed source software that we have that we run for people as a service in the cloud, or we offer on premise. So we're very firm believers in open source software and getting it out there in the world. We have hundreds of thousands of installations of our software globally, but we have a customer base of around 600. And that's basically by design. Like, with open source, you expect that you will have a much larger user base and community than you do a customer base.
But there's a good and a bad that probably comes with an open source type of thing. But the good is the fact that you get people that are smart and passionate and really want to do the right thing or to learn, to grow. So you are able to collect or get that information or get that insight into your product as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they'll frequently make comments on our GitHub repo and ask for features or file bugs, or they'll comment in the community forums. So there's definitely value that we get, even for people who use our software that aren't paying us, because ideally the community is all working together to improve the software and make it better over time.
Okay, so we're here at the IoT Solutions World Congress, and let's talk a little bit about how you fit, how your organization, how your company fits within that structure and where you sort of reside, okay?
Right.
So for the listeners out there, talk to us.
Yeah, so our platform basically helps software developers develop solutions around time series for collecting the data, storing the data at scale and querying it, processing it for monitoring and alerting purposes, and then visualizing it for human consumption. Now, our target user is actually usually software developers that are building solutions in the IoT space that then go on to be offered to other customers. So,
and so for me, being Mr. Simpleton, I'm a company and I'm coding. I'm creating an application. But I can pull your product in to one, be able to execute quicker because there's a lot of good stuff there, but then be able to pull that into my overall architecture as what I'm doing and building.
That's right. So I think
one
example in the IoT space is we have a partnership with PTC ThingWorks, which a lot of people know about. So they build a platform that is closer to the actual end user, and they build, at least for the time series portions of that stack, they build it on top of Influx. And then the talk that I gave earlier today at this conference, I gave as a co-hosted talk with Albert, the CTO of a company called World Sensing. And they build...
I interviewed him.
Ah,
and we're good friends now. If you need a good good word or anything like that, you just let me know because I know him.
So yes, World Sensing uses Influx as their backend for storing all of the sensor data that they collect for smart cities and mines and stuff like that.
Where do you see it going? This is a, I don't know, it's a rapidly changing industry. There's just stuff happening, standards. It's never ending. I mean, this conference has been, 5 years ago, and now it's here today, and it continues to grow, and people are still just sort of tapping into the benefits, the problems it's solving. Mm-hmm. Where do you see it going?
So I believe that anything that can be instrumented will be, which means more and more sensors deployed out there in the world. Actually, in the talk earlier today, an interesting question was asked about like the smart city example, which is how many sensors do you have to deploy to get like coverage of like how traffic is flowing along a freeway?
Yeah.
And the answer is, well, you could deploy a sensor once every mile or once every kilometer, or you could deploy a sensor every 10 meters,
right?
So it's really just a matter of what level of precision do you want for the data?
And cost.
And also, how frequently do you want to collect it, right? Do you want to collect it once an hour, once every 10 minutes, once a minute, once every 10 seconds, once a second? All of that stuff, like where it's going is we're going to have more and more sensors deployed. We're going to be collecting the data at a higher frequency. And basically, you're going to need solutions that not just centrally locate all the data in the cloud, but work with the data locally at the edge where it is in high precision. And then you're able to ideally downsample it, aggregate it for longer term trend analysis and for smarter analytics.
Absolutely. And probably the ability to be able to make a decision quicker.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, you're squishing that time frame.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So with that said, Influx Data, where do you think you're going?
Where are we going?
Yeah. I mean, that's all great about the future. How do you fit into that future?
As a platform, we want to be the backbone for all of those solutions, right? We want people to build their software solutions on top of our software. And our goal really is focused on developers and focused on developer productivity.
That's your market avatar. That's who you want to.
Yeah.
Because the reality is that, okay, me, I'm interested in the operations. I want to be able to collect that data. I want to be able to pull that data in so that I can make operationally tactical decisions based off of that motor, based off of whatever that might be. I don't know. But you're in the development range. It's sort of, for me, as a operations guy, it's sort of invisible. I just know that it happens.
Yeah. So some of the tools that we make are useful for like people who are administering things who need like to look at dashboards and stuff like that. So we do have user interfaces for that. But ultimately, like I said, we focus on developer productivity, which is if you need to build an application that needs to work with sensor data and mine intelligence from it and make things actionable, we want to make it so that you can build that application as quickly as possible.
Right, right. That makes sense. But you, I want to make sure that this doesn't go unnoticed. You have a dashboard. You have a user interface that can provide that visual representation of the data.
That's correct. Our user interface allows you to do ad hoc exploration so you can see what's there. You can visualize it in a number of different ways, either as like line plots, bar graphs, histograms, all sorts of things like that. You can create dashboards. You can also create monitoring and alerting rules for conditions that you want to look for, if you want to try and detect anomalies and trigger alerts off that. You can also trigger action off of it, right? You can make a call to another service to have something done automatically without human intervention.
Do you have an API that with that particular service that goes to some sort of an enterprise solution, enterprise, like an asset management solution, and then it can call and say, hey, looks like this asset is having some challenge based off of this data, based off of this parameter, and I'm going to notify you.
Yeah, so we have a language that's part of the platform. It's called Flux, and basically...
Good point.
That using that language, you can make calls to any system that can accept an HTTP request.
Right, right.
So we will build, over time, integrations to specific asset management systems so that you can hook into those things. The goal is to give people the flexibility to either extend the system for what they need or integrate with other third-party systems that they already have deployed.
Because that's where you're going. It's one thing to be able to pull that data, but you want that data to have some sort of ability to be actionable too, and call to action somebody that you don't have to sit there and wait. It just automatically says, here's my parameters, I violated it, whatever it might be, and get on out there.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. I like it. I'm a big fan. Why wouldn't I? Do you have a sports team?
Influx does not have a sports team, but over time, maybe.
Do you have a favorite sport that you follow?
I do not.
Okay. Well, okay. Do you like hiking? Yes, I do. I like the sport of hiking. No, that's very good. Hey, are you out there on LinkedIn?
I am indeed.
Are you active on LinkedIn?
I am.
Because there's people that are out there on LinkedIn that are not active.
Find me as Paul Dix on either LinkedIn, Twitter, GitHub.
Are you really?
Yeah.
All right, man. How many Paul Dix, and that's D-I-X, how many are out there?
There are three other ones that I know of.
Okay, type in Influx, that's INFLUX data, then you'll be able to pull him. That's the right Paul that you need to pull in. There you go, reach out. He knows his stuff. So thank you once again
for
joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. And once again, we're brought to you by those wonderful people at Industrial Internet Consortium. Go out to iiconsortium.org. That's iiconsortium.org. And I'm telling you right now, if you're not getting engaged, if you're not looking into that information and pulling it down and figuring out how to create an IoT strategy, well, your competition is. Just FYI, I've talked to them. And then the other thing is that it's all free. So there is no excuse. You can't say, it costs too much. It doesn't even cost you anything. And you're getting the best of the best of people who are providing insights into the IoT world. So thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast live from Barcelona, which is a great town. Put it on your bucket list. And I'm Scott McKenzie, and we're going to have another doggone great interview coming your way from the best of the best, just like Paul. He knows his stuff. He's smarter than I am.
Thank you
very much. Be safe, everybody. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.